I'm stretching my neck out.
Are you ready now?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome to Highly Questionable. It's Friday. Pablo's getting stretched and ready, which means his takes are going to be limber today. Ooh. That's Mina Kimes. Let's do less of that.
Is he okay?
No.
How should Kirk Cousins' teammates feel about him today?
Kirk Cousins is back at the Vikings training facility after missing the last, 5 days because he was in the COVID protocol because he came into close contact with somebody who tested positive for COVID-19. So when he got back, of course, reporters asked him about if this changed his mind at all about his approach to getting the vaccination. And here's what Kirk Cousins had to say.
I think the vaccination decision is a private, very private health matter for me, and I'm going to keep it as such. I do believe that as a leader of the team, it's very important to follow the protocols to avoid this close contact, because that is what it's going to come down to, is did you have a close contact? And so I'm going to be vigilant about avoiding a close contact. I've even thought about, should I just set up literally plexiglass around where I sit so that this could never happen again? I thought about it, because I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Asterisk. He's going to do whatever it takes. Asterisk. So the thing about the plexiglass was, I guess, that the QB room that they were in was too small, which meant they would all be in close contact. So they've moved the QB meetings into a bigger room. Kirk has even said that he would be willing to have them outside if they had to, or like he said here, to construct some sort of plexiglass house. That, I don't know, can you throw stones when you live in one of those? I'm not entirely sure. The point is to say that you'll be vigilant and do anything possible to avoid this situation when you cannot do the most obvious and historic public health solution to this problem is very frustrating. It's hard for us to discuss what should happen here when your only answer to whether or not you're going to get a vaccination is that it's a private health matter. Sure. The politicization, is that how you say that, Mina? Of this vaccination is now what is causing you to have doubts about it. When in the past, if this had been a thing, the Vikings were just like, hey, on Thursdays, we're all going to show up and get a shot because we have to do that in order to go on with our season, then the players wouldn't have questioned it then. But because it's now become attached to so many other values and meanings and opinions, we've reached this situation. The Vikings are one of the lowest vaccinated teams in the league. Mike Zimmer has emerged not as the face of go get vaccinated, but as an advocate who is saying, look, if we want our best chances, if we want a competitive advantage, I want our team to be vaccinated. And the leader of your team is saying, that's a personal matter, but I'm going to play around with some plexiglass and build myself a home so that I can do everything I can. And I just worry that people are going to now not feel as though they need to go get vaccinated. I'm so sick of talking about it.
Oh, man, that was an excellent paraphrasing of Mike Zimmer. Like, you made him sound very, I don't know, casual about it, when in fact he just sounded so fed up to
so mad.
The question about how people feel about this. What you've got in Cousins is a player, and by the way, he's not the only player. There's a vocal minority, notably the minority, like 90% of players have had one shot. But saying, as Kirk says, this is a personal and private matter, when in fact, it is not a personal decision to avoid taking every step possible to infect others. That is the issue here, right? We're not talking about something that only affects you. It affects a lot of other people. You're saying, I am not going to do that despite the advice of literally every credible scientist on Earth. And in fact, what you're going to do is inconvenience people. I mean, Kirk talked about building a plexiglass house. Sorry, it's just such a ridiculous visual. But he also talked about, like, having outdoor meetings in January. Y'all, have you been to Minnesota in January? If you laugh, your breath freezes. So if I was Kirk Cousins' teammate listening to that, I would be incredibly annoyed at the possibility of being inconvenienced to that degree and frustrated because he is supposed to be the leader of this team. But how he is acting, it's anything but leadership.
No, look, I love that his version of leadership involved using the phrase as such that had the sheen of credibility. Hey, that guy sounds like he has a very clear idea of what he wants to do here. But in reality, we can call him something that I think is pretty blunt but fair. He's being a bad teammate. I mean, in football, in sports, all of the time, we talk about who loves the game, who really loves football, who will do anything it takes to win, to be on the field. The best ability is availability. I think it is very telling that Mike Zimmer is one of the oldest school human beings on this planet. And he is the one leading the charges. You guys alluded to saying, if we want to win games, like if we're still a football team trying to win football games and, you know, play football, we got to do this. I mean, it is embarrassing that the Vikings at last check were under 70% vaccination rate, lowest in the league, as you guys said. It is embarrassing that in order to play, you have to do something that is, I would say, far less insane than, I don't know, getting like ligaments reimplanted in various parts of your body and jeopardizing your long-term cognitive health and, I don't know, injecting Toradol and syringes into your chest and ribs all the time, which all these guys do. Kirk Cousins clearly has a reason he's not doing this. It's just not a good enough reason to avoid being labeled what I think he is, which is a bad teammate.
It's notable also, by the way, that he will not give the reason.
Yeah.
Probably because, to use your adjective, Pablo, he knows it's embarrassing. He knows every doctor and scientist on the planet is saying otherwise, but he won't give that reason because reasons.
Well, it's also interesting because he seems to emphasize that he's willing to follow the protocols. He's willing to be, in his own words, vigilant about the protocols. And that sounds like somebody who's saying, I want to follow the rules, knowing full well that there's a little loophole where there's no rule that he has to get a vaccine. Now, this is a guy who last season said, if I die, I die, and didn't seem to think that masks work. And now he's saying that they do. So it's possible that to him, he feels like he's made some sort of progress. But I would say last season, 15 games had to be moved, postponed, changed, and they're not going to do that this season. So you're not coming into the same thing as you did last season, because this year he has said, you know, those worked last season. Why can't we just do the masks and social distancing again? Well, because if you have COVID and you can't play and they have to move the game, they're just going to cancel it. You're going to forfeit. You will lose.
What do you make of the Lionel Messi and Barcelona breakup?
Yet 21 years, 21 years, Leo Messi, one of the most famous soccer stars, even if you don't watch soccer, you know the name Leo Messi, has played with Barcelona, the only club that he's known. And now, yesterday, we get the announcement that, at least seemingly, that relationship is over. Now, if you're confused, that makes sense, because a couple weeks ago, a lot of reports were saying that they were very close to a deal. People thought that this was going to be done, that Leo was going to stay with Barcelona, as many people wanted, as it seems like Messi himself wants, and as Barcelona obviously would want. And yet now we're finding out that he's not. Also hearing that PSG is making an offer. A lot of teams didn't know that this was coming, and so I think a lot of teams are scrambling to try to make an offer. We don't really know necessarily what's going on. It's entirely possible that this is some sort of advanced pressure tactic. Barcelona is one of only three teams that stayed in Super League and is kind of digging their heels in. And La Liga is trying to make deals in order to incentivize getting out of that. It's very confused. This is soccer. This is how international soccer works. There's a lot of money moving around, but it's entirely possible that he's done. It's also entirely possible he ends up staying there. Maybe he's coming to MLS. Wouldn't that be sweet? Come on over to Major League Soccer, Messi. We'll have you.
Oh, man. Well, Messi, I mean, there are now reports, Katie, to that point, that there are reports that Leo Messi has just bought millions of dollars worth of Miami real estate. Ooh. To fuel all those rumors. And is all of that just posturing? That is also unclear, because what this story is, beyond involving a guy that billions of people care about, it's just worth saying that, because, like, you know, LeBron's a huge deal, obviously. Millions and millions of people, they know him in China. No, Leo Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, these are dudes that billions of people on this planet, 3.5 by some general estimates, they no one care about these guys. And so what you have here is something that is global and also very provincial, because La Liga, what they want to do, I mean, La Liga feels like the Big 12, to be honest. They have two teams in Madrid and Barcelona that think they're bigger. They can go form a Super League. They don't really need them. But La Liga absolutely does. And La Liga also has rules like an NBA-style salary cap. And so it's very confusing as to how anybody could have been caught offside by this mixed metaphor or this accounting problem in La Liga. But the point is, everybody's posturing because they want more money, which is the most universal story in all sports.
God, we're mixing so many sports metaphors here. I was going to say, this is like Brady leaving the Patriots times
a billion. Why? Come on.
Whatever.
Why?
But once I found out Katie was on this show. But the Pablo, you mentioned that it's an NBA-style salary cap. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion comes from. Because you look at these teams and you're like, wait, I thought you didn't have a hard cap. Why don't you just shell out for him? But they do have sort of a budget, is how I would put it. There are financial limitations put on these teams to basically not spend more than they make because they don't want the entire league to implode. Now, that said, there are teams that kind of get around this because the problem here is that Messi requires a new contract, which makes him subject to these rules, whereas if they were just simply renewing him, they could be a little bit slippery about it, but they let his contract expire for reasons that really do not make sense, like not to anyone and certainly not to Barcelona fans. And if I was a fan of this team, I would be furious, not only because they're letting a franchise legend, the greatest player in the world, walk away, but because that result is the product of a series of bad decisions, expensive contracts, misallocations of budgets that came before it, and everybody saw it coming. Like, this has been talked about for months, and yet it got to this point, and it seems like a big screw up on the part of management.
No, I mean, look, to be clear, like, we talk about how debt is a thing, a problem in sports. Barcelona reportedly has almost $1 billion of outstanding debt. So, like, everybody needs cash ASAP. And so the question is, how do you get cash if Leo Messi isn't in your league anymore and he's, I don't know, living on South Beach, smoking cigars like a former certain host of a television show we may or may not be on right now.
What was your biggest takeaway from last night's Hall of Fame game?
I mean, look, I understand that we've got to do certain things for TV and make it seem like there were multiple takeaways to have from this nothingness game in which the Cowboys scored 3 points. But I don't think I have necessarily a big takeaway. This game, nobody watched it.
I got you. I watched it. I took notes.
Book of preseason football notes.
Yeah. I was taking notes. I mean, first of all, Dallas fans, I mean, Micah Parsons, electric out the gate. So that's encouraging. Admittedly against backups. But for Pittsburgh, of course, the question going into the season is how does the reworked offense look? They're rebuilding their offensive line. You saw the rookie, Kendrick Green, playing, looking decent against admittedly backups in action. But also what you saw from new offensive coordinator Matt Canada is more play action, more pre-snap motion, all of the things you've been wanting this offense to do. And the question now is, well, will Ben Roethlisberger be willing to? Guys, literally, I got a lot more notes on this.
Keep going. I'm sure it's good.
I took notes. I mean, you know, Mason Rudolph might have lost the backup job, which, of course, is important because Ben Roethlisberger is probably going to get hurt. He was outplayed by Dwayne Haskins and Josh Dobbs. Seriously, nobody wants to listen to
it. Still going.
I tracked the number of times they used motion and play action.
Up next on HQ.
The one thing I will not call you if you request is if you are the parent of one of my friends and you say, oh, call me Jim. Not calling you Jim.
USAA is
time to play the game that has a lot more to say about the Hall of Fame game.
How
do you question?
Possible?
You give us topics
and
Najee Harris. We question them.
Nashawn Wright was great. Some of the other rookies.
Do you question if this Aaron Rodgers throw was lucky?
Pablo, you good? You got something in your eye?
I'm awake again. Sorry.
Clear eyes.
It's emotional.
Full hearts.
Emotional.
Can't lose.
What we're about to see.
Aaron Rodgers at training camp was doing a drill, I believe, is called throwing a ball into faraway net. I think that's the official name of that.
Oh,
so
I love
let's
that
take
drill.
A take a look at this.
Okay. This is like 40. Like, this
I
is
love
really
when
far.
The arrow is bigger than the first one.
That's how far away they are.
You!
I mean.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think you still got it.
This is absurd, but I want to be cynical about this. This is just absurd.
That's Aaron Rodgers. Is that not what he does? It's just you can kind of just throws it up and in it goes.
Why wasn't the Hall of Fame game just people doing that?
Yeah.
Why can't we just have more of that?
Like trick shots or the Pro Bowl. All I have to say about this video is Aaron Rodgers is going to be so pissed when the Packers cut that net. Get it?
Do you question if Jason Garrett's tantrum was warranted?
I mean, tantrum is far. It's certainly a confusing situation. Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator of the Giants, and he was at a media availability in a shirt that he wrote "fight" on with a Sharpie. I just want that to not go unnoticed. It's, to me, the part that jumped out
it's
of
very
this
shirt tails.
But what he says is also interesting. Here's what he said.
Okay, good to see you guys. Good to see you guys.
Likewise.
Yeah.
See you in person.
Yeah, we say good to see you, coach. That's how we do it.
Jason, good to see you guys.
So this was originally before, I don't know, maybe it was before the video came out. There was a tweet that kind of repeated the interaction that he said, good to see you.
Yes.
And then the reporters had responded with good to see you in person, Jason. And he said, good to see you, coach, is how we say it around here, which reads when you read it that way, as if he was saying, call me coach. You better call me coach. Watching the video, it does sort of seem, and I know, Mina, you've got like inside info on this, so you can clear it up, but it does kind of seem like maybe he was just hoping everybody would have quickly responded, hey, good to see you, coach. But
yeah,
I don't know.
No, you're right. This is a great example, I think, of like watching the video versus reading the transcript and why that matters, because intonation matters. And talking to people who covered Jason Garrett in Dallas, like, they're like, oh, well, we called him Jason all the time. It wasn't a big deal. It is about him doing a corny dad thing. Like, that is what this is, where he says, like, good night. Where's my good night, honey? Mm. Like, that is what this is. Like, he says, good to see you. And he wants people to say, good to see you, coach, or whatever, back.
Mina has sources close to the situation who want to make it very clear that Jason Garrett is just a lame dad. I love that that's the reporting we have today.
The defense of Jason Garrett is, no, he's just corny. I don't know what to say.
And I empathize with that. I resemble that increasingly as the father of a daughter. Oof, I feel that. Oof. But in fact, it does remind me about parents and stuff. The truth for me is, like, I will call you whatever you want me to call you. I don't really care. The one thing I will not call you if you request is if you are the parent of one of my friends and you say, oh, call me Jim. Not calling you Jim. Not calling you Jim, Mr. Desario. Yeah,
yeah,
no. Very uncomfortable with that still.
Really?
To this day.
Yeah, we can't be friends. You're my friend's dad. You are like my a step away from being like my uncle. You're not my friend, Jim.
Yeah, I can't call my people call their own parents their first name.
Well, I had to because I worked with mine. She would be the bartender and I was the server, and she didn't like when I called her mom because then everybody at the bar would know that she had a 15-year-old daughter.
Behold.
Time to play the game that has the best hair on the show today.
He's right.
See? Oh no.
We did it again. You tell us what's on television tonight. We tell you if we're intrigued or not. I did try.
Tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, the men's basketball gold medal game, France and USA.
Ooh, basketball. Very exciting. 10:30 p.m. Very exciting. This isn't one of those games you got to wake up at like 4 or 5 to watch. The United States currently, I believe, 12.5-point favorites, but it, you know, could go either way. Have they figured it out? We don't know. I guess I'm intrigued. I'm going to say yes, but I want this yes to stand in the record as like, I'm going to flip back to it. Because I do have a prior commitment, and I've said this, and I'll say it with my chest. I'm watching rhythmic gymnastics any chance I get. So yes, but like kind of yes. Mean, are you intrigued?
Ribbon? Not by rhythmic gymnastics.
Wow.
Yes, by the basketball. Part of me, obviously, rooting for Team USA. The other part of me wants France to win just so Rudy Gobert can go from being the villain of the NBA to the super villain of the NBA, which is just fantastic narrative. But yes, I'm intrigued.
Pablo, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I love ball. Ball is life. I'm absolutely in on the NBA and the Olympics and all forms of basketball in this way. But Katie, like you, I'm also into the rhythmic gymnastics thing, not least because you came on ESPN Daily on today's show, go find it, to talk to me about it, but because I've also been grinding some rhythmic gymnastics game film.
Oh, what you got? Oh my God!
Oh, wait—is that Katie?
Yeah.
Is that also a mullet?
Yeah.
This is rope.
Wow, Katie, get it together. God. I'm so uncomfortable watching your childhood.
Wait, so is this improvisational? So like not everybody's doing the, or does everyone do?
No,
the
we're
jump
all
rope
doing
move?
The same routine. We're just we all hear the music differently. If the music was loud enough, you could tell I'm on it. This girl's not on the music, and that was
you're
one of
on
the
beat.
Hardest things about yeah. competing is when you were paired up with somebody who just was not. Look at her. Mm. Oh, what a mess.
Ding, oh ding. My God, the leotard.
Yep.
Oh, well done.
Salute your judges.
Oh, look at that. The full
point your
rotation.
Toes. Yeah, that haircut.
I gotta say.
That haircut was till high school, folks. I grew that out in
really?
Middle school. So that just gives you
back.
A feeling of how my experience of childhood was.
Unbelievable.
I didn't want to say it, but since you brought up the haircut. Mm. You look like Jose Canseco.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
No. Katie, you look, to me, you look like Ozzy Canseco.
All right, that's it for a very highly questionable week. Very highly, I don't think, is good English. If you want more Pablo Torre, you can listen to ESPN Daily. I actually happened to be there today. As you just saw, Mina Kimes, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, NFL Live.
Oh,
one last thing to say.
Thanks, coach.